on News Radio 10.
It's hard to stop a train.
You're listening to My Daddy on News Radio 1070 WINA. Charlottesville, right now!
Dora!
Four 12 on the clock. It's 12 minutes after 4 o'clock in Central Virginia. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville right now. News Radio 1070 WINA. 86 humid, mostly cloudy degrees. We'll have a full update for you on the weather at the bottom of the hour, plus a little local news. I'm glad you're here. Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris joins us live in studio. Now, you're not still watching Dora at your house,
you know, you? Coy, my daughter would be so pleased to know that I was introduced by Dora the Explorer. You know, for three Halloweens in a row, she dressed up as Dora the Explorer. So that is quite fitting. Thank you much.
There you go. Well, you know, it's from one dad to another. Where should we start? How about you were in Richmond this morning, right? I mean, you're on the road today.
Yeah, Richmond. There's a little group that's looking at, you know, affordable housing is one of the issues that brought me into politics, really. And so
Tell folks why that is. You know, you're literally on the front line working with people who don't have homes.
That too is my part of, you know, as a vocation, I work with the homeless. But just, you know, we have become one of those communities, as I said many times, where the people that work here are having a hard time finding housing here that they can afford. So they're moving 30 miles away. With gas prices being what they are, it's just putting a tremendous strain on their budgets and on our roads and et cetera, et cetera. So anyhow, I recently was invited to join the board of the Virginia Housing Coalition, which is a statewide group that looks at affordable housing issues. And as part of that, we're looking at how do we work with the General Assembly next year or the year ahead to develop stronger legislation to provide stronger incentives for developers to be part of the affordable housing solution in Virginia. It's an exciting time. We had developers, we had realtors, we had other people at the table this morning, and I hope we can see some fruits of that here in Charlottesville and elsewhere in the Commonwealth soon.
Well, Dave Norris is my guest, mayor of Charlottesville. Part of the problem defining it? Because oftentimes you'll see a developer say, hey, I've got affordable housing. Well, right. It might be affordable for somebody who's on their third home.
I
think of affordable housing, I think of somebody who's looking to buy a home for the first time and own a slice of the pie.
You know, we don't build starter homes anymore. We used to, you know, in Belmont where I live, the houses, the street that I live on was built, they were built as starter homes for workers at the Frank Hicks factory 80 years ago. And we don't build that kind of housing anymore. We're building homes that are $250,000 and up, and it's becoming very hard for, you know, first-time home buyers to find homes, and also renters, you know, people that can't afford a huge amount of rent. So we're trying to attack it from a variety of angles, and we're really trying to work proactively with the home builders, with the realtors, with the developers to figure out a way they can be part of the solution.
Yeah. Now, Dave, what do you say to people who think and would argue, you're just trying to mess with the free market? Let the market do whatever it wants to do. And right. If the market says that the police officers and nurses and school teachers can only live in Waynesboro or Fluvanna, then that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, the irony, for instance, of this conversation this morning is how do we unleash the free market to be an even bigger part of the solution by providing incentives and getting government out of the way, in effect, by saying we're going to allow you more density. We're going to allow you, we're going to provide a streamlined review process for your plans if you agree to incorporate a number of units as affordable units. So how do we facilitate the power of the free market to be part of the solution? So
right. Because the local government, as the voice of the people, says, you know, in our vision for our community, we value starter homes.
We'd like to see
our cops and our school teachers and our nurses be able to actually live in this community.
Right. We don't want to be an exclusive little community that only the rich can afford to live here. So.
Yeah. And it reminds me, you know, Allison's going back to work at Washington Lee. So we've actually been looking at some homes over in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And a couple of times I would see a Charlottesville City police car in front of a house. And I'm thinking, you're living over here,
right?
And are you driving that car? I'm just wondering if the public is paying for the gas for them to go back and forth to work from like Waynesboro.
No, I don't believe the public.
Because if we are, let's just give them the money they can use as a down payment on a home instead.
It's crazy. Somebody told me once. Now I should fact check this before I say it publicly, but somebody told me that about 3/4 of the people that work at our regional jail live in the Shenandoah Valley because they can't afford to find
amazing.
You know, so. it's just not a good situation, you know. So.
We're talking with Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris. What is this latest? Under the rubric of sustainable, I guess. There's bottled water. There's plastic bags. There's recycling.
Well, I just think we're trying to, you know, as a community, and Charlottesville is certainly not alone in this regard, but trying to be greener and minimize our impact on the environment. And in many cases, that means saving taxpayer money. So, for instance, the investments that we're making and that we've made in the last couple of years on making our municipal buildings and school buildings more energy efficient, it's good for the environment, reduces our carbon footprint, but we're saving hundreds of thousands of dollars in energy bills because of those investments. So, bottled water is another issue. It's sort of a, you know, symbolic thing where why are we shipping in water from hundreds, if not thousands of miles away in plastics that are, you know, based on petroleum and when we have perfectly good drinking water here. We're not talking about outlawing bottled water in the city of Charlottesville. Don't worry, I'm not talking about that. But certainly as a city, you know, we are actively reducing, taking steps to reduce consumption of bottled water in City Hall.
Because the city actually buys bottled water, right, and supplies it in City Hall.
And
right?
How ironic is that? I mean, we spend so much money providing a safe,
clean water,
drinking water source for our community, and yet here we are buying bottled water from California and other places. It just doesn't make any sense. So it's another, you know, sort of green thing that we can do that actually saves money. The plastic bags is not a city initiative. It's just something that a lot of us are, you know, thinking, you know, there's got to be better alternatives to plastic bags. There are advantages to plastic bags, but if we can get renewable bags, reusable bags, and encourage the use of those, we're not talking about outlawing plastic bags. But again, it's just promoting better, more environmentally friendly alternatives that end up in the long run saving us money.
We take those big bags whenever we go to, if I remember, you know, we take them with us to either go to Whole Foods or if I got to stop by Kroger and, right, and you know, we try to keep some in the car so you can take them in.
I'm trying to do more of that myself. You know, it's just me. I I'm not perfect and nobody's perfect, but I'm trying to do the same, you know. And a lot of stores now are giving rebates for using reusable bags, which is pretty cool. And even Food Lion over on Avon Street is now selling the reusable
bags. And the best part about them for folks who are might be scoffing at this and thinking, oh, that's stupid, taking in your own bag.
Right.
They're bigger.
Right.
And they don't break.
They don't break. That's right.
Because how many times have I been, and somebody should tell Whole Foods this, because Allison's favorite place, but how many times have those Whole Food bags just fall apart in your hand?
The handles
come right off. Right. The bags rip down the side.
Right.
They're not good bags.
No,
and maybe they're trying to tell us something. We want you to bring in your own bag, you know?
Right.
But what's great that I love about them is they're just huge.
Those
reusable canvas bags, you can fit so much in there.
Yeah. No, they're pretty cool. So, you know, I think there's a whole lot of things that we're trying to do to be greener, save money, and work to save the environment.
What's the latest on the, I just remember this, what's the latest on the downtown mall plans of redoing that?
We have approved sort of the idea of moving forward on rebricking the mall. You know, the bricks that are there now, up to 25% of them are broken or cracked or in not in good shape. And, you know, it needs some major TLC. The business community downtown said we'd like to go ahead and rebrick the whole mall. We need to make investments now that are going to last another 30 or 40 years. It's almost a daily occurrence that somebody trips and falls on one of those bricks downtown. It's very difficult for people with limited abilities, mobility, the blind, the elderly. So the business committee felt like this is a major investment that we needed to make to preserve the economic vitality of the downtown mall, and we agreed. So
what's the timetable on that?
We'll start in January. I mean, we're starting now, but I mean, in terms of actually doing the work, starting in January, we have a very ambitious time frame. We've hired the company that oversaw the that new Leonard Sandridge Road at UVA and oversaw the JPJ Arena construction.
Well, because they do nice work.
They do nice work, and they do it under, on time, if not before. And they do. And so we've hired them to oversee this project, and we're hopeful that we can get it done in 4 months. So.
Wow, that's great.
It's very ambitious.
So it's going to be, please pardon our mess while we...
Please pardon our mess during the slow period of the shopping season and
from
January to April. But then we'll have a brand new mall that'll last another, hopefully.
It's so amazing. And I haven't been here that long, but I got here in 89. And I can remember once upon a time when the downtown mall was a ghost town.
Oh, sure.
After 5 o'clock, everybody went home.
Right.
And it was just Miller's. I mean, that was really like the only thing down there with a light on was Miller's.
Yeah,
nobody lived down there.
There
were no businesses open at night.
Right.
Again, except Miller's, and there was music down there.
Right.
And that was the only reason you go down. And it frankly could be a fairly dangerous place
That's
at certain times
heard.
Of the
yeah,
night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even before midnight, it was you didn't want to necessarily be down there.
No.
And now look at it.
Well, we've got a new $40 million hotel going in on the mall. We've got a $7 million mall revitalization project. We've got new businesses locating on the mall. We've got, and I think the most important thing that's happening downtown is the growth of residential activity downtown. Because the more people that choose to live downtown, that will more than anything sustain the vitality of the downtown mall. So.
Yeah, and you know what? It gives people a stake in downtown that aren't just business owners.
Absolutely.
So it's not just
Absolutely.
The Chamber of Commerce speaking. It's right. residents.
I live here.
This is right. my home.
This is
it's
my
not
home.
Just, hey,
this
I have
my,
an investment here.
Right. This is my front yard.
So. Yeah, yeah.
And we've got, I think, 600 or 700 units in the pipeline today of
wow.
new downtown res. Now, unfortunately, getting back to the first part of the conversation, too many of them, in my opinion, are sort of high-end condominiums and not enough housing for the people that actually, you know, a lot of people that work downtown have the service jobs, retail jobs downtown, but we're working on that. So
yeah, we're talking with Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you've got a comment or a question for the mayor of Charlottesville, we'd love to hear from you. Give us the latest on this regional transit effort.
Yeah, yeah. We had a good meeting, I guess, 2 days ago now. It's very rare that the city council and the board of supervisors has a joint meeting. And so we had all of us sitting in the same room together. And that shows the high priority that we put on transit as a region. The city and the county agreed to move forward in creating this regional transit authority. Right now we have CTS, the city bus system, which Albemarle County is a paying customer for. I mean, and it's owned and controlled by the city of Charlottesville. So the idea is let's create a joint authority that owns and controls the public transportation system and results in increased funding for this regional transit
so
system.
So the county, and at the end of the day, we're basically talking about the county taking some ownership in this,
right.
beefing it up a little bit with some investment and seeing more routes.
We want a bus system that goes more places, more frequently, more reliably. It's more user friendly. It gets more people off the roads and reduces some of the congestion, provides a more environmentally friendly alternative, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and to do that, you know, we're looking at creating this regional authority. We have to go to Richmond in January to get permission to create this authority. This is, you know, one of the vexing things about being in local government. Anytime you want to do anything innovative, you have to go begging and pleading to Richmond.
Well, it's a Dillon rule state.
Exactly.
For folks who don't
exactly.
know what that is, go to Wikipedia. But it basically
right.
means you can't do anything unless Richmond says you
right.
can.
Right, right. And, you know, and there's some good things about that. But this is to me, if the city and the county want to jointly create and run a regional transit authority, we should be able to do that. I'm hopeful. The big issue is funding. You know, we've lost. We had a 44% cut in transportation funding this
Ouch.
Year. The state dollars are not coming through. Obviously, the legislators did not agree on any kind of new funding formula or funding plan at the General Assembly this summer. So we are hurting for transportation funding and for transit funding. But we've got to get smarter about it. With gas prices doing what they're doing, we've got to get smarter about providing alternatives to the single occupancy vehicle. And that's what this effort's all about.
We're talking with Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris. And we invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070. The latest on the water issue as far as the reservoir, and we've certainly talked that to death on this program, but there's a task force to look at
right.
dredging the South Fork of the Rivanna.
Right. You know, and frankly, Coy, this is a conversation that should have happened 30 years ago. I mean, we've had this reservoir in place, and we've allowed it to silt in. We've not done a good job of maintaining it as a region. And so we're in a position now where it's silting up. I think a lot of people see it as a community asset and want to maintain it as a community asset, even above and beyond its value as a water supply vehicles, so to speak. But it has ecological benefits, it has recreational benefits, it has aesthetic benefits. And so this question is a long overdue question about how do we be good stewards of the reservoir? And that's what this task force is going to look at. What are the values of the reservoir? What is our vision for the reservoir? What do we want to get out of this reservoir? And then what kind of work do we need to do to preserve it and accomplish those goals? So we don't see this as a, you know, 5 or 10 year long discussion like we like to have in this community. This is a 5 month long discussion. Then come up with a set of goals and then decide what to do next. I'm hopeful that if, you know, assuming this group decides that we do need to do some maintenance dredging on the reservoir for whatever reason, even if it's just for the rowers at UVA to have a good place to row. I mean, hopefully it's not just for that reason, but if we do decide to do some dredging, that will produce some water supply gains, which means I believe that we should be able to then lower the dam that we're planning to build at Ragged Mountain and save.
So you don't need as big a bathtub over there.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can save millions of dollars and save thousands of trees by doing some dredging at the reservoir. I don't want to predetermine what the outcome is going to be, but that would be something I'd like to see happen.
So then ideally, from your point of view, the look at dredging and our understanding of what dredging can do at the South Fork should come before any action on this 50-year plan.
I absolutely agree. I mean, and I have said publicly that I don't want to see construction start on the dam until we have an outcome from this other process, even if that means delaying construction on the dam until we've resolved some of these other issues. Now, that may be a minority opinion, but that's where I am. So
yeah, and the task force now is headed up by Sally Thomas, who has.
Sally has been integrally involved in water issues for decades now. I mean, she knows probably more than anybody in this community about the water supply and about reservoirs and ecological health. And she's just a tremendous resource. And I was very happy that she agreed to step up as the chair of this task force. There's a lot of viewpoints represented on this task force, people that are approaching it from a variety of angles, and I think it's going to be a good discussion. So.
Yeah. And will those be public meetings?
Public meetings. The first one's next Tuesday, I believe.
Oh, wow. Coming up.
I didn't bring the information on when it is or what time it starts or where
I'm
it is.
I'm sure Chris Callahan knows.
Chris Callahan knows everything. So
he'll be there.
He'll be there. But it'll be a good discussion. And, you know, we've got Citizens for Sustainable Water Supplies on this thing, the Sierra Club's on this thing, the
Developers are represented, Chamber of Commerce,
Yeah. People that live on the reservoir, rowers, it's a good cross-section, city council represented, board of supervisors. So it's 13 people and look forward to a good discussion. So.
Dave Norris is the mayor of the city of Charlottesville, and we've been honored to have him live in studio. Thank you, Dave.
Coy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Always look forward to it.
Absolutely.
We're going to break for local news and weather. When we get back, we'll talk about the subprime mortgage crisis and get the latest from an expert, give away a free book. More coming up. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
This is your home of the Who's, thanks to
Albemarle Lock and Safe. If you